Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the Adam Carriker Show rolls on. This hour is sponsored by our good friends at Sweezo Construction, where safety isn't just a policy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a promise. Sweezo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work in a team that has your back on and off the job site. Apply today at Sweezo.com. 40 years strong in business. Sweezo Construction. Again, that's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W. .com. All right, Jake, you got a couple of things for us. What you got, my man?
Yeah, I thought there was a funny comment here we'll get to here in a second. I did want to also say we know now FS1 3 p.m. kickoff for Michigan State for Nebraska's next game. They just announced that TV partner in time. So for Memorial Stadium, obviously, we just keep playing here in Nebraska. A lot of home games to kick off the season. So, of course, you're going to have to wait through the bye week, but now we know the time there. And then I thought Magic had a pretty good reaction to the Josh Pate clips we've been playing. He said, Adam, these are perfect. Gets my mind off being angry at the football team and angry at some idiot who's just going out spouting venom.
We're here all day to give you other people to be angry at. Dave Portnoy, he doesn't have anything to do with the FS1 part, does he?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think he does. Good Lord, I pray he doesn't. All right, ladies, or we could say hi and have a little chit-chat, one or the other. I'm good either way. All right, what's the last clip? And actually, you reminded me what this clip is. It's actually Josh Pate saying a few kind things about Lincoln. Go ahead there, Jake.
About our trip right quick to Lincoln. I've still got a lot of show to get to, so not going to spend a lot of time on this. Oh, we had a good time. Our friends at Flyhouse came through, as you can clearly see. If you're listening on podcast, just picture a machine bigger than we have any business being on. And our friends at Flyhouse came through big time for us. Carbs are of no concern on those kind of aircraft. And they got us up there. And we had a great time, and we were treated great. I have never been there before. Everything they said about Lincoln is true. Everything they said about the people was true. Really good access. Just had a great time. Met up with some of our old friends from CBS. Did some pregame work with them. We were everywhere. So I saw a good bit of that place. Think we saw a really, really charged game day environment. Didn't see a win, but beggars can't be choosers there. But the biggest blessing from our friends at Flyhouse is being back in Nashville by 9:30 that night, and that's without even being in a hurry. So it was an awesome trip. I am very hopeful to get up there again and to be able to see like one of those moments, one of those Berlin Wall type moments. And the only thing I can equate it to is like Tennessee. I was at Tennessee when they finally took down Alabama, and the feeling of euphoria and the feeling of just finally, and the pouring out of emotion from an entire fan base. It's amazing. You rarely get to see that. But when you do get to see it, like if I'm ever at Nebraska and they take down Ohio State or they take down Michigan or someone like that, that would be an amazing sight. I can tell it would be.
So now we have to stop being mad at him because he said nice things. Did I just ruin the show because now we can't be mad at him and people want to be mad at someone or something, not name the football team? Is that what's going on here? So actually, I know why I clipped that. I wanted you to clip that. It's because at the end, I remember when Tennessee beat Alabama. Was that 3-4 years ago for the first time in umpteen years? And they carried the goalpost out of the stadium. I think they threw it in the river or something like that. My son and I was coaching his football team. We hung on as long as we could. We ended up actually being late to the football pre-game warm-up for the team that I coached because I wanted to watch the end of it. So I remember standing there just like, this is awesome. A moment like that happening in Lincoln, because that's what he's talking about, just imagining that. You know, it could have been Saturday. I don't know. Do we carry the goalposts out? There's not a river nearby, you know, but just getting a big win. Because if you think about two times ago when we played Michigan in Memorial Stadium, we had the win. Unfortunately, we had the fumble by the quarterback in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Man, here's what I honestly think. It's going to happen at some point. It's been so long. It just almost seems impossible. It seems insurmountable. It seems like 2 to 3 Everest stacked on top of each other. That's the way it feels. And just like, I know some people almost feel like it's just never going to happen. I truly believe it will happen at some point. Okay. I think I said this a while back. Do you really think that 30 years from now, at some point, Nebraska's not going to have a really, really good football season again? Like they're going to go into 2055, not having won a 9, 10, or 11 games at some point in the season. Like, I truly believe it's going to happen at some point, and what that moment's going to be like, it feels surreal, unreal, unrealistic, like it's never going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get that first one, the next one becomes a lot easier and a lot easier. It's that first one that is so freaking hard. We're going to get to the Dylan Raiola quote here. Do you have anything real quick, Jake? Or are you ready to get to the quote?
I just say, as a Nebraska fan, Nebraska basketball fan, be careful, because we thought for decades he'd eventually get to a certain level and still have it. You know, Indiana, Iowa State, I don't know if those are good examples or bad examples for Nebraska, where they've, you know, their whole 100-year history never had 10 win seasons, but recently did get there. So it is. You know, it's a different way to look at it, but I agree with you on the whole. I don't think this is going to happen forever. Nebraska's going to get back to that point, and it's going to be special when it does happen. Continue, you know, it's always just say there's just too many resources, too much interest, too much money that's going to be put into it that they, you know, to continue to fail like this. Well, and I don't want to just say that too, because I don't think this should be lumped in with all our other failures of the past. I still think this team's heading in the right direction. They could win 9 this year still.
If we win 8 games this year, like, again, it's like what you said. It's like what I've said in the past. What were your preseason expectations? 8 to 9 wins. I've been very consistent with that. People before the season, 9 to 10. Okay. All right. Fine. I'm 8 to 9. After the Cincinnati game, oh my God, we're not that good. 6-7 wins. Nope. 8 to 9. All right. You mollywop the next two teams, lose. Nope. 8 to 9. You lose to Michigan. Nope. 8 to 9. I'm sticking with it. Now, if in 3 weeks from now, we're sitting here at 3-3, we're going to reevaluate. Okay. If we're 5-1, I'm probably going to stick with 8 to 9. But those are my preseason expectations. And when that's how you, those, if that's the lens you're looking through things, it changes how you react to things. I'm just going to say it, man. I said all offseason, I love Matt Rhule, and I think he was trying to speak things into existence. I think he was trying to talk to his players through the media. I'm like, some of the hype that he was putting out there, I was like, man. Do you remember me being like, I wish he would quit doing this? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's working against how people are reacting to certain things now?
I don't know. I think they'd be pretty upset one way or the other. But it is, I mean, I hope that as time goes on, again, this is kind of the reaction Monday. We talked about the opening show, the different ways you kind of go through this. It feels like a game Nebraska could have won. And so you put it in the lineup of games that Nebraska could have won and didn't quite do it. So it's all those losses compiling on each other. And that's where the frustration comes. But I mean, if Nebraska's 5-1, 6-1 at some point, I'm not saying they necessarily will be, but you look in their schedule and they only got a 3-point loss to a Michigan team that's probably ranked at that time, you know, a national champion a couple of years ago. It's not going to look so bad.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team, and the Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Digital cues and prices jumping at checkout can get in the way of you and a great seat. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. It's easy to use, and the Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. You can snag new ticket deals before anyone else by following your favorite teams or get a panoramic view of the view from your seat, all right from the app. Plus, you can save even more with zone deals by choosing a section and letting Game Time choose the seats. No matter what, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying sports tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
It's a fair point. All right. This isn't the headline of the show, so I feel like we should talk about it at some point. And I quote, "A lot of people think this might break us. I'm just telling you right now, we're going to come together and do something scary." End quote, Dylan Raiola after the game on Saturday. Thoughts, reaction, Jake, text line. Feel free to text in. What you got, Jake?
Well, again, I mean, and maybe that's the off-season talk still kind of creeping in here to where the confidence is not going to be put down here. I mean, remember, they've talked about, Dylan Raiola said they won a national championship this year, so their goals are sky high. Again, didn't quite get it done here, but it lets me know that belief system is still there. And for Dylan to say that after a game where he got shellacked by an offensive line like that, you know, I think speaks volumes. Not to just his belief in the team and in the ability to maybe overcome some of their deficits, but you know, just kind of his leadership and trying to bring it forward. I mean, when I hear something like that, automatically think of Tim Tebow after the loss and kind of rallying the troops together. And for that speech is famous because they ended up winning the national championship. If they hadn't, it wouldn't be as famous. So it kind of, you know, I like those words. I don't always put the most stock in them. You know, I always heard from Tommy Armstrong, you know, there'd be games where they're down and you'd hear after the game, Tommy Armstrong was on the sideline telling people to get going. And I don't know why I'm pointing him out in specific, but it was,
yeah,
I remember a couple instances of it. And it was like, okay, that's awesome. That's a great story. It's great to put in the newspaper afterwards. What about the games where they did get blown out? Was he on the sideline telling them, don't worry, we're going to get better. We're going to get back into this game, and it didn't happen. So a lot of it, you know, just kind of playing the result.
I get you. When I read it, so if you watch Dylan's demeanor during the game, like you said, he never got rattled. He seemed in charge because I was curious. You know, this is a big national stage. It's a big-time opponent, especially brand-wise, still a really good team. I mean, they might win 9-10 games this year, you know. This is a team that curb-stomped Alabama in the bowl game, has beaten Ohio State 4 straight years, won a national title 2 years ago. We both agree they're a Tier 1 blue blood per our impromptu 30-minute debate on last Friday's show. And I was curious, how's he going to respond in-game? Again, I don't put this loss on Dylan. Could he do things better? Yes, I actually thought he played really well, considering everything he was dealing with. After the game, I thought he was in his press conference. And if you lose a game like that, you're a true competitor, you're not going to be in the friendliest mood ever. The last thing I wanted was microphones and cameras in front of my face. I can only remember doing a couple of post-game press conferences because I was pretty much just terrified of speaking publicly in general at that point. But in general at that point, but he was very much shorter, to the point, a little bit more direct in the post-game press conference, which is fine. But when he said this, I had two responses. Number one, what do you expect him to say? Number two, we'll see if it happens. But if you watch his body language, his demeanor, and his tone, he believes it. It wasn't just lip service. Like, it wasn't Dave Portnoy. That's what annoys me about him. I feel like he's putting on an act right now. I feel like he's amping it up, and it's not all real and genuine. I think that's what's bothering me. And he has zero analytical ability. I'll let that go. I apologize. I'm going to come back to it in about 30 seconds. But for now, I'm going to let it go. It feels genuine from Dylan. Now, whether it happens, I don't know. But if he doesn't believe it, there's zero chance it's going to happen. So my reaction was, okay, all right, let's see what happens. They're not pointing fingers at each other. They're unhappy, as they should be, and they clearly are, but they're not pointing fingers at each other. In fact, Dylan said, put it on me. All right, I like that. I don't entirely agree with it, but I like the accountability part of it. That's a leadership quality aspect of it that I like. And there's some belief behind what he said. We'll see what happens. But my reaction is, okay. There have been things said over the past few months that I didn't put a ton of stock in, things that were said publicly. I don't know how much stock I put into it, but I put a lot of stock into the fact that he believes it. And that's why it stuck out to me, and I wanted to talk about it today. Is there anything off the text line about it?
Yeah, there's a few different thoughts. Ben Starkey says maybe take the sugar out of the Kool-Aid. Big Daddy Travis says Nebraska won't do anything if they can't protect Dylan and stop the run. 8374 says scary can be negative too. 3591 says doing something scary like actually take off and run the football. Mr. Mike D said, unless Dylan is going to play D and can stop the run, quarterback play wasn't why we lost. And Bo Lever, who's been, of course, that comes from the Bo Pelini days. So Bo Lever, a longtime texter into the show, appreciate that, says, seems like we are good. And if our O-line gets better, we will be very good.
Those are all fair responses, although I will love all the responses. I'm just going to respond to one, though. Like, let Dylan be who he is. Like, if he's a pocket passer, let him be a pocket passer. Yes, I 100% believe there's some Mahomes-esque stuff to him. I believe some of that is intended. I believe some of it is not. The off-balance throws. In fact, I think it would help him if he set his feet more and used more consistent mechanics. Even the RPO touchdown pass that you've probably seen a million times that put us ahead in Arrowhead at the Cincinnati game. They ran the ball on third down, went for it on fourth, RPO to the left, and he hits the receiver for a touchdown in the end zone. His feet weren't set properly on that. Like, there's little things he could do to get better, especially technically-wise, technique-wise. But as far, he's a pocket quarterback who has more elusiveness than people realize. But he doesn't need to be anything more than that. He just needs other people to do their jobs a little bit better up front. That's my take on that. Jake, what are your thoughts before we go to break?
No, yeah, I mean, I agree. Again, it's a limited amount of what he can do. I think he did work to get a little bit better in the off scene as far as elusiveness. But when it's going to be constant pressure like that all day, you know, sometimes you just have to take the sack. Sometimes that's the right play, which can be crazy. But, you know, you kind of think about, like Shedeur Sanders or something, who scramble backwards and lose 10, 15 yards trying to do something. Like, sometimes that can get you in a little bit more trouble. So, I mean, there's, again, a lot of critiques. I mean, that might have been his best game as a Husker. I didn't even think about it until you said it, but I think that might have been his best game.
No, I think it was. I will ask you one question, because there is one thing that sticks out to me that he could have done better. I don't think he's Shedeur. Shedeur would hold the ball for like a full calendar year. Like, my gosh, that's not Dylan. And I still maintain Michigan didn't have to rush many guys, so they were dropping guys into coverage so guys aren't open right away. That being said, knowing Dylan's in a tough spot, not a lot of time, not a run game, guys probably aren't open immediately. Should he have maybe just thrown the ball away a few more times? And maybe there's four sacks? If he just throws it away three of those times, maybe there's four sacks instead of seven. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because that's the biggest thing that I look at, and I'm like, maybe he could have done that.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at him. I think there's at least one or two where it felt like he just kind of protected the ball or you know, kind of, I don't know what you're going to say, gave a fun play. But, I mean, again, you have to look at each individual one. Is there a dump-off route? Is there somewhere to throw it? Is everybody running long, developing routes? Because there's nothing to do with it there. So, you know, I'd have to go back and look at all the sacks, but I'm sure there were, I think there were a couple instances where maybe he could have avoided it. But again, he didn't have a perfect game, but he played pretty well.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to talk about how much I curb stopped, molly whopped, and absolutely dominated Jake's rear end sideways in the pick'em. Isn't that about how it went?
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, he actually beat me. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.